Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Okay. You ever think about this? How might it have been different that first Christmas had it been the wise women rather than the wise men? You ever have thought about it? Could it have been different? Would it have been different? Instead of wise men, there had been wise women. Someone suggested, had it indeed been wise women, they, the women, would have asked for directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned the stable. I like this one. They'd have made a casserole. And they would have brought disposable diapers as gifts. Had it been wise women instead of wise men. The title this morning is Celebrate Christmas. What do we mean when we say celebrate? If I were to ask you about that. He's my buddy. Sometimes he gets excited a little bit, and that's okay. Amen? That's perfectly all right. I appreciate Deb working with him. He's our buddy, and he's always welcome here. We talk about celebrate Christmas. What do we mean when we say celebrate? If I were to ask you, define celebrate, because I got to thinking about that as I was coming up with the title. I thought, somebody says, okay, we're going to celebrate. What does that mean? Tell me. Give me a definition of celebrate. So I looked it up in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and it says to observe a day or commemorate an event with ceremonies or festivities. That's one of the ways you celebrate. You have ceremonies, you have festivities. Or to make known publicly, or to proclaim, to praise widely, or to present to widespread and favorable public notice as through newspapers and what have you. That's what it means to celebrate. And that's what we've been doing around here, if you think about it. Why did we have a banquet, a Christmas banquet? We were celebrating. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. Why do we have a musical? We're celebrating the birth of Christ. What's all these decorations for, inside and out? We're celebrating the birth of Christ. So with this definition, we can rightly assume that is exactly what Scriptures want us, or says that we should do as it relates to Christmas. I've heard people just kind of put down the whole idea. And, you know, I understand when somebody says it's become too commercialized. I get that. But I don't think it's right to throw the baby out with the wash. I know of people that just kind of just put down on the whole idea of Christmas. I'm going to contend something different. I'm going to contend this morning that that's something you need to celebrate. You need to be excited about. You don't need to play it down. You need to play it up. Look at what the angels told the shepherds that first Christmas. Read along with me. In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The celebration has begun. Here's these angels. Here's the glory of the Lord. This is a big deal. This is not something common. This is not something that they had ever seen before. This is the beginning of a massive celebration. And the angel said unto them, verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you, listen to this, good tidings, good news of great joy. Not just joy. What we're about to tell you is great joy. There's been no other news like this in the history of mankind. No greater joy to have been delivered to a group of people in the history of the world. He says, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. How neat is that? This applies to everybody. This is something that every single person can and should take advantage of and be excited about. He says, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Without a Savior, those shepherds would have burned in hell for eternity. An endless pain, endless fear, endless anxiety. If there's one thing those shepherds needed was a Savior. If there's one thing the world needed was a Savior. Because you and I, even being born 2,000 years later, without a Savior, we would have had the same destiny. We would have had the same eternity. An eternity in hell. And knowing that our families are in hell. And our children are in hell. And our grandchildren are in hell. And our friends are in hell. Without a Savior. And knowing that your grandbabies that you love would be burning in hell forever. And your spouse that you love would be burning in hell forever. But for Christmas. But for Jesus Christ. That's great news, folks. That's something to celebrate. Because avoiding hell, if you will, there was only one way that could possibly happen. And that would be for someone worthy. And someone who could do it, someone without sin, to pay for our sins. That allowed for one candidate only. Only one could be sinless. Anybody else trying to pay for our sins, if they were a sinner, would have just been paying for their own sins. So it had to be somebody sinless, and there's only one possibility there, and that's Jesus. And that Christmas night, he was introduced to this world. And the angels are saying, rejoice, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Verse number 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, what? Praising God, celebrating, and saying, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Verse 16, and they came with haste. They ran. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Think about that night. Think about the celebratory nature of that night. The angel saying, we bring you good tidings of great joy. Great joy. Neither you, nor your wife, nor your children, nor your grandchildren, nor your extended family or your extended friends, you needn't fear the judgment of God. You needn't fear being separated from a loving, compassionate Savior forever without any hope of escape. You needn't fear that. A Savior is born. They said, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men. That was something to be excited about. If you think you have a death notice hanging around your neck, and somebody comes and removes it, that's worth getting happy about. That's worth praising God about. That's worth telling other people about. The birth of the Savior indeed warranted celebration then. It warrants celebration now. I think it's interesting the fact that to this day, the birth of Jesus Christ of over 2,000 years ago is celebrated literally around the world. I took it upon myself to see how other cultures celebrate, other nations celebrate Christmas, because that's what they were doing that first Christmas night, and that's what we were encouraged to do. In Brazil, it says sometimes children leave a sock near a window. If Papa Noel finds your sock, he'll exchange it for a present. That's a tradition in Brazil. I've been trying to do that tradition at my house for ever since I've been married, leaving socks around, but I never get any presents for it. They have a secret Santa known as Amigo Secreto, I guess it is, popular in Brazil. It is traditional to give small gifts all through December using a pretend name. On Christmas Day, people reveal who their Secreto Amigo was. In Finland, here's how they celebrate. Because it gets dark very early in most parts of Finland around Christmas, it's now traditional to go to cemeteries and visit the graves of family members. Some cemeteries are enormous, and police are on duty to manage the traffic, but everyone must walk the last few yards to the grave. Candles and hanging lanterns are left around the grave. Often lots of many family members go. The whole cemetery is alight with glowing lanterns shining in the snow. A winter wonderland. In Poland, says Christmas Eve, the house is cleaned and everyone gets washed up and puts on festive clothes. The main Christmas meal is eaten in the evening, and it's traditional that no food is eaten until the first star is seen in the sky on Christmas Eve. So children look at the night sky to spot the first star. In Ireland, there's an old tradition that in some Irish houses, they put a tall, thick candle on the sill of the largest window after sunset on Christmas Eve. The candle is left to burn all night and represents a welcoming light for Mary and Joseph. In Italy, it says having cribs, baby cribs, in your own home became popular in the 16th century. And they say it's still popular today. Cribs are traditionally put out on the 8th of December, but the figure of the baby Jesus isn't put into the crib until the evening night on December the 24th. Around the world, 2,000 years later, people celebrate Christmas. And I contend that today, in the States, here, we too are wise to celebrate Christmas. We are to celebrate what the angel said were the glad tidings. The angel spoke of the glad tidings. And then in Luke chapter 4, Jesus enumerates what those glad tidings are. And I'm going to use that as the basis for why we should enthusiastically celebrate Christmas. In Luke chapter 4, it says, and he, this is Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. So he is reading from the Old Testament. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is what he read to them. And this enumerates why Jesus came, why he came. He is reading to them what the Old Testament prophet said was the reasons for a Savior, was the reasons for a Messiah. And in verse number 18 of Luke chapter 4, he reads this from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's reason to celebrate. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Reason to celebrate. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You want to know what we have to celebrate? If you're a Christian this morning, you have a lot to celebrate. Maybe you're going through a tough time. Maybe you're experiencing some challenges right now. All the more reason to celebrate Christmas. Jesus there, as he's talking on the Sabbath there in the synagogue, reads from Isaiah. And he explains to them, you know, here's why you're to celebrate. And he lists seven different things there. In fact, if you go back and read in Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1, the same terminology is used there that is used by the angels when they're explaining to the shepherds what's going on there. In Isaiah 61, verse number 1, if you go back and look at where he's reading from, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings." To preach good tidings. Good news. The good news is worth celebrating. Some people will celebrate the fact that they're about to have their first grandchild or their first child. Word is, you know, we're expecting, and people celebrate that. People will celebrate the fact that someone graduates, you know, from college or high school or what have you. And again, we should do that. And as Christians, we should be just enthusiastic about our celebration of Christmas, in spite of whatever troubles or trials you may be going through. And if you're going through troubles and trials, I would say all the more reason to get excited about Christmas. All the more reason to celebrate the birth of Christ. I want to give you seven reasons to celebrate Christmas. The same seven reasons that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18. Let's look at those. Number one, we can celebrate Christmas because Jesus came by divine appointment. In that synagogue, he read where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." That birth at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago was not just another birth. It was not just another child. The birth of Jesus was by divine appointment for a divine mission. And we can celebrate Christmas because Jesus came by divine appointment. Understand that. Don't overlook that. This is God in the flesh come to earth to be born in a stable, in a manger, if you will. And it wasn't an accident. It is part of God's divine plan that you have this divine birth for this divine purpose. Because without this birth, you and I and everybody we care about would be destined to hell. We should be thankful beyond words for this divine appointment, this divine birth, this divine mission of God to send his son here to this earth. Folks, understand, without it, I can't imagine. I can't imagine a world in which we couldn't be saved if we wanted to. I can't imagine the mental anxiety of knowing that my grandchildren, my children, my mom, my dad, my wife, myself would spend eternity in hell. But because of that birth, which led to that life, which led to that death, which led to that rebirth, if you will, the risen Savior, because of that, you and I can celebrate. And the trials that we're facing pale in comparison, as serious as they may be. And I'm not belittling anybody's trials. But think about it for a second. Compared to the danger that we would have been exposed to and that we would have experienced, the birth of Jesus Christ makes all our other problems pale in comparison to that divine birth, that divine appointment. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Then he says, number two, we can celebrate Christmas because Jesus has good news for those impoverished by sin. Do you understand how sin affects the world? Do you understand how sin affects you and me? And Jesus said, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Sin makes us poor, folks. Sin makes every person destitute in their lives and in their souls. Sin robs us of our potential. Sin diminishes our lives. It makes us poor. And not just the sense of financially poor. But sin makes us poor in that we don't reach our potential. You think about people that have so much potential. And because of sin, they never reached that potential. They got on drugs. A man with the potential to be a great father, but he got on alcohol. Someone with the potential to live a long life and be a blessing to many people for many years, their lives shortened by cigarettes and tobacco. And Jesus says, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus brings the gospel to those who are poor. Poor financially, but poor in spirit. Poor in their life compared to what it could have been. He can fix that. He alone can take a drunkard and fix him, can take an alcoholic and fix him, can take a drug addict and fix him, can take someone eaten up by pride or selfishness or pornography or whatever. He has been anointed to preach to those people. Folks, that's worth celebrating. He can fix it. It frustrates so many of us in ministry who know that we have the answer, and you bear your soul to someone who's maybe come to you for counsel, and you share with them the glad tidings of the gospel, and to only see them walk away negative, not interested. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Number three, we can celebrate Christmas because Jesus can heal those whose hearts have been broken by sin. Verse number 18, he goes on to say, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Sin, folks, leads to broken hearts. You know, and we live in such a world, and I'm afraid maybe the message isn't getting across because so often we live in denial. We don't want to acknowledge our sins. We live in a world where it's all about ego. It's all about fulfilling myself, me being who I want to be, me living the life that I desire to live. It may be that you're sitting here this morning, it's going right over you. Go, sin, he's talking about sin. Yeah, folks, sin. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What he's talking about here, these matters aren't about us finding. He didn't say, I've come so that you can find yourself, so that you can prove your worth, so that you can prove to everybody that you're somebody. Everything he says here, this list of facts that he's enumerating about why he came, is dealing with the issue that is most troubling, but yet most often ignored by us. We're so filled with pride. We're so filled with ego. We don't want to be told where we're wrong. We don't want to be told of our... We get offended. We're so thin-skinned these days. Somebody told me this morning. Two people told me this morning. Said, it's so cold outside. Preacher, this morning, you need to preach on hell and brimstone. Okay, I'm doing what you said. But do you understand what I'm saying? Let's acknowledge, folks, we're sinners. And when you acknowledge the trouble that your sin has created for you and your family and for others, then you will celebrate all the more because there is one answer. And that's what the angels were saying. We bring you good tidings of great news. What does Jesus say here reading from Isaiah? He said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Why are people brokenhearted? Because of their goodness? Why are people brokenhearted? Because they're righteous? Again, get the underlying message. Remember, because of sin. Sin leads to broken hearts. Sin leads to broken relationships, which breaks hearts. Sin leads to broken goals or unachieved goals in life, which breaks hearts. Sin breaks our hearts when we don't reach our potential because of sin. And Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Those of you that have created, contributed to problems because of your pride, that's sin. Those of us that have contributed to problems because of our selfishness, that's sin. And relationships that have been hurt, goals that have gone unmet, breaking your heart, understand that too, if you will, can be fixed. But there's only one that can do it, and that's Jesus Christ. Number four, we can celebrate Christmas because Jesus can free us from the bondage of sin. Again, in verse number 18, the next thing he says is to preach deliverance to the captives. Sin can hold us captive. Can you say addiction? Addictions are horrible things to have to deal with. Good people with great potential, good people that could teach Sunday school, good people that could tithe, good people that could drive vans, good people that could make a great husband or a great wife, make a mom or dad proud so often, are held captive to addictions. And oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes at the root of many addictions is simply sin. And our hearts break when we know of someone that is being held captive. Is there hope? Can anything be done? You know, I'm so troubled. I'm so burdened by either myself being held captive or someone I care about being held captive. Is there some way that I can be helped? He says to preach deliverance to the captives. I've done a fair amount of research and watched a fair number of programs and YouTube videos about addictions. And I appreciate everybody who has their thoughts and their ideas and have a genuine desire to help people. But I have found in so many cases, so many attempts to help people with their addictions to not really, it really doesn't help. It falls flat. It falls short so often. But there's one place we can turn. There's one person we can look to. It's where Jesus says, I preach deliverance to the captives. Deliverance to the captives. Jesus can deliver those who are in bondage to these vices. Number five, we can celebrate Christmas because Jesus is the only one who can give sight to people who are spiritually and morally blind. He goes on to say, and recovering of sight to the blind. And recovering of sight to the blind. Every unsaved person is blind. Every unsaved person is walking in darkness. And that's why they're stumbling into this mistake, and then they're stumbling into that mistake, and then they're having to deal with this, and they're having to deal with that. Because they can't see where they're going. And there's only one that can accomplish that. There's only one where you can recover your sight. And it says, and recovering sight to the blind. Jesus can do that. That is worth celebrating. That is worth getting excited about. Number six, we can celebrate Christmas because Jesus can remove the pain of sin. He says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Sin will leave its black and blue marks all over you. There's one that can heal that, though. It leaves black marks of regrets, black marks of guilt, black marks of disappointments. But Jesus came to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus can do that. And then, number 7, we can celebrate Christmas because Jesus restores us to the fellowship with God. In verse number 19, the last thing he read from Isaiah said this, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is a reference to the Old Testament year of Jubilee when land that had been mortgaged returned to its owner and debts were forgiven and the Israelite slaves were released. And that's a reminder that we have a debt. We owe God. Our sins come between us and God. We are indebted to him. But when he preaches the acceptable year of the Lord, we being separated from God by our sins, now like in the year of Jubilee, are brought back. Just like the land that you lost is regained, the fellowship that you lost with the Lord is now regained. Understand that. Folks, we need to understand that we're sinners. And sin really does a number on us. But Jesus is the answer to every issue that we face with our sins. Therefore, knowing that, and knowing that he is the only one who could, if you will, fix it, that's reason to celebrate. So I leave you with these three thoughts this morning. Why then is it important for us to celebrate? Number one, such rejoicing is good for Christians themselves. It makes them realize their blessing and their privileges, and it takes, as it were, a firmer hold on them. It's good for you to celebrate. That's what we're saying. It's good for you to celebrate. It will do you good. You need to have something you can celebrate because maybe you haven't had a lot to celebrate here this year. You know, 2016, you might be glad that it's getting over with. So, and I can understand that. We all have years like that, times like that. But it doesn't mean you don't have anything to celebrate. In fact, celebrating Christmas is something that you ought to celebrate, and it will benefit you. This writer also says it helps them to make light of the small trials and hindrances that more or less beset everyone and that, if dwelled upon exclusively, may be magnified until they assume very undue proportions. So you should celebrate Christmas for you, to remind you how, in spite of your troubles or trials, how blessed you are. Because without Christmas, what you are worrying about here wouldn't be a drop in the bucket to what you would need to worry about had Christ not come. So it's good for you. Number two, such rejoicing has a beneficial effect on others. It attracts them to Christianity in the same degree that a gloomy presentation of the Christmas religion repels them. So you ought to celebrate because it's good for you. And number two, it's good for others. It's good for others to see that you have something to celebrate. And when they see you celebrating it, you can share with them exactly why the celebration. It wakes responsive echoes in their hearts. It stirs up latent and undefined longing in their souls. It leads sometimes to inquiry and conversion. So you celebrate for yourself. You celebrate for others. And then lastly, such rejoicing is further for the glory of God. God wills that his saints should praise him and rejoice in him. It is an offering of a sweet savor to God. It benefits us when we celebrate Christmas. It can potentially benefit others when we celebrate Christmas. And perhaps most importantly, it is pleasing to God that we acknowledge his sacrifice, that we acknowledge his gift. We acknowledge his goodness. So this Christmas season, I'm sure probably all of us in this room to some degree are carrying some burdens right now. Who's immune from that? And you might be tempted to say, you know, I'm just going to let this year slide. I think that would be a big mistake. I think it is beneficial to you, to others, and pleasing to the Lord for us this year and every year to truly, genuinely, and for the right reasons, celebrate Christmas. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed as we stand, please.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.